Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. This is Dr. Herbert Harris, author of the 12 Universal Laws of Success. I am your transformational speaker and trainer. We've written 8 books and had our books translated into many languages, but we are now engaged in transforming the lives of 10 million people, helping them be what they want to be, do what they want to do, and have whatever they want to have by attracting and creating wealth, living their dreams, and realizing their purpose and destiny. The concept of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is that wealth, success, and all things come to us based on consciousness. The spiritual principle, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Kingdom is consciousness, awareness. The purpose of the Millionaire Mentorship Show is to help develop the consciousness of wealth, health, success, prosperity, and money to attract these things into your life. So, if you want to attract health, wealth, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money into your life, you are in the right place. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning into our program and sharing it with others. With your support, you have made us the number one new program on the Bashani Radio Network with over 1.8 million listeners. With listeners like you, nothing is impossible, and I truly appreciate you. So continue to listen and share with your friends and subscribe. Send any questions or comments to Herbert, that's H-E-R-B-E-R-T, at herbertharris.com. I'd love to share some of them on the air, and everyone who sends in an email or a comment will receive a free audio download, The 4 Principles of Wealth Building. Also, be sure to visit our website, www.herbertharris.com, for tips and tools to help you live your dreams or to schedule a millionaire mentorship consultation where I can help you do you. This is Dr. Herbert Harris. If you would like more information about how you may become a millionaire, text the word millionaire, that's M-I-L-L-I-O-N-A-I-R-E, to 58885. That's 5-888-5 to get more information and a special gift. I'd like to open with an inspirational story. There was a farmer who sold a pound of butter to a baker. One day, the baker decided to weigh the butter to see if he was getting the right amount. He did, and he wasn't. Angry about this, the baker took the farmer to court. The judge asked the farmer if he was using any measure to weigh the butter. The farmer was very honest. He said, "Your Honor, I'm very primitive. I don't have a proper measure, but I do have a scale." So the judge asked, "Well, how do you weigh the butter?" The farmer replied, he said, "Your Honor, long before the baker started buying butter from me, I had been buying a pound loaf of bread from him. So every day when the baker brings the bread to me, I put it on a scale and give him the same weight in butter." So if anyone is to blame, it is the baker. The moral of that story is, in life, you get what you give. Don't try to cheat others. Our theme for today is empowerment. And I picked that theme because our guest today is one who has studied, spoken about, and written about economic empowerment as a life theme. Our quote for today is, the question isn't who's going to let me, it is who is going to stop me. Let me share that again. The question isn't who's going to let me, it is who's going to stop me. Ayn Rand. This is a perfect lead into our guest, Chris Johnson. We call him Brother Minister 8-Ball, is the founder of Liberty Hall Media Group. He is the architect of the Gospel of Afronomics Theology, GOAT, G-O-A-T, the philosophy and program, and he is presently developing a goal-setting program entitled MVP Goals. Mr. Johnson has built a following through an online radio show, From Mind to Market, and this show was on LIB Radio from 2007 through 2012. As a business and financial thought leader, Brother Minister's philosophy is that for people to become financially responsible for their lives, they must be empowered personally with proper tools, value systems, and mindset. He also believes in transformation as opposed to reformation on a personal and professional level. So to achieve something that you've never done, a person has to become someone he or she has never been. In his role as an Afronomicist, I love that, and Afrofuturist, Brother Minister addresses the economic issues of the urban and hip-hop communities, as well as the African diaspora from the empowerment perspective. He feels that these communities have the right and obligation to empower and enrich themselves to fulfill their economic destiny. Mr. Johnson is presently a doctoral candidate for metaphysical studies at the University of Metaphysics in Sedona, Arizona, and he is a 2004 graduate of Sage College of Albany, New York, with a bachelor's degree in interdisciplinary studies. Doctor, I'm going to call you Doctor. Doctor Johnson, it's going to be there shortly, has received his ordination as a minister of metaphysical science. So, my friend, I'd like to welcome you and say it is my honor to have you on the Millionaire Mentorship Show. Welcome, Chris Johnson.
Thank you, Baba.
I love it when you call me Baba. You know, many people, Baba is a term meaning, some people say means father. Some guys say just means old person who knows a little. Well, Chris, you know, it's my honor to have you on the program. And I've read, I'm reading your book, and I'm honored that you asked me to do a foreword for it. And I tell you, you have broken some serious ground and given some serious insight. So I really salute you for having the courage and the determination to do this book.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, as I went through this book journey, I thought about Napoleon Hill and his 20-year journey to write Think and Grow Rich. So I can empathize with Mr. Hill and what he had to go through to bring it forward.
Yes, yes. As we were talking earlier, some people said, well, you know, Chris, you're an overnight success. And as you say, it was 21 years in the making. So I guess the answer to that is I'm an overnight success. It just took the world 21 years to find out about me. Now, Chris, I like to find out where a person came from. Where did you grow up? What were your young years like as a child?
I was born August 12, 1970, Hempstead, New York. And I was back and forth between New York and South Carolina, where I would say the bulk of my formative years was in South Carolina. Graduated from West Florence High School in 1988 and had an interesting journey. was out in the Midwest for about 8 years. I had this fantasy that I was going to be the next Lawrence Taylor. So I walked on at the University of Nebraska. Things didn't quite pan out, but I did discover an entrepreneurial DNA that I had.
Mm. Now let me before you go on.
Okay.
As a young man, that's a big jump from South Carolina. Now, in your early years, you know, many times we have a lot of young people, and we often say that there was something in their young years, a someone or some person that really was demonstrated to help, you know, either give their life a special direction or a special perspective. Or was there someone in your early years that gave you that insight, that encouragement, that thing that really made a difference in your life?
Mm-hmm. I think I would have to say two women stick out. The first one was my late great aunt, Janie Cato, who basically was a person who just, I could do no wrong with her every time I would go visit. And she introduced me to butterscotch pudding and taking care of her cats. So that was kind of the first experience of learning how to serve others.
Mm.
The next person is an old church secretary named Miss Lillian James. And I'll tell you this true story. My friend and I, we were talking with Mrs. James, and something came up about women smoking. I think I asked her, I said, "Miss James, what do you think about women who smoke?" And she told me, "It's not a good look. It's bad. I don't like it." And she told me and my friend, "When y'all grow up to be men, make sure that y'all don't date women who smoke." I said, "Okay." And just because of that, I never dated a woman who smoked.
Mm, beautiful. I like that. It's okay. Interesting. So often you have women who are very, you might say, instrumental in guiding us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you went, so as a young man, you went to, Lawrence Taylor was one of the great football players. You know, we have a new generation, Chris, who, I tell you, I call it the microwave generation. And if it didn't happen yesterday or at the latest last week, they may not know about it. So Lawrence Taylor was a very famous football player. What position did he play?
He was outside linebacker.
Linebacker, okay. And so you were going to be the next Lawrence Taylor. So what happened there when you got to the university?
Well, I think I learned that I could play at that level, but academically, there were some gaps missing. Okay. And so that ultimately led me to a junior college in Iowa, you know, to work on my grades and to get myself ready to play, I thought, at a Division I level. But after being at a junior college in Iowa, there was a Division II school, Edinburgh University, that recruited me. And so from Iowa to Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, I went and played out my eligibility there. Left Edinburgh, came to Albany in 2000, and completed my bachelor's in 2004 at Sage College of Albany.
So now, from there, did you go on into professional football? Or?
No, it's, you know, football is one of those things where the worst thing that can happen is you become civilized.
Mm, that's deep. Now, that's a learning point. What do you mean by that?
You know, people have probably heard of Marshawn Lynch and the thing called beast mode. Mm-hmm. Okay. There has to be, I guess, a beast-like mentality in order to play this game. And the minute you become civilized, and all of us go through it, the minute you lose your appetite for contact and collision, it's time to walk away.
Mm, I see that. I see what you mean. Mm. You think about the principle, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Mm-hmm. I can see on a football field, boy, that was, you say, we need to set that principle on the side when the goal is to knock a person out of their socks. Now, you evolved from there. I was reading in your bio that you had the program on LIB Radio, my good friend Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get from football to LIB Radio?
Oh, man. Well, there has always been, I guess you would say, a cultural consciousness that began in 1987 when I watched my first Malcolm X lecture on VHS. So I'm dating myself. And from there, because I've never really heard an African man talk the way Malcolm talked, and that resonated with me. And from there, I was introduced to Garvey, Nkrumah, and others. And so over the years, I've really read more about our people throughout the diaspora and really began to have more of a foundation of who I am as an African man.
You know, Chris, that's something that's so powerful. You know, I'm going to date myself. I was there and saw Malcolm X in person. I think it was the Wednesday or Thursday before he got killed. Okay.
Wow.
So I was there. And I'll never forget, he said something very interesting. He said, there were a lot of reporters and cameramen in the room, and he was smiling. He had just returned from Mecca, and he was talking about, he had a more universal perspective, you know. And he was just so almost friendly and conversant. And he said, you notice there are cameras here. And he said, you notice nobody's taking any pictures. And he said, because nobody really wants to see a warm and friendly Malcolm X. But he says, watch it if I frown. And when he frowned up, all the cameras in the room went off. So, but I think as a learning point, we like to say, it's so important for young people to get out and learn from and hear the people from that prior generation share things. And that was life-changing for you, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. And it, for anyone who's read Malcolm's autobiography, I think it's a universal story. I compare Malcolm to the biblical prodigal son.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is because when he, I think he was in Nigeria in 1964, and he was given the name Femi Omowale, which is Yoruba, which means the sun has come home. So looking at Malcolm's journey, where he left the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Garvey and the UNIA, found himself in the pig trough of street life, addiction, in jail, left Little Red and became Malcolm X. And then Malcolm X evolving into El Hajj Malik El Shabazz and Femi Omowale. So it's a universal story of redemption, and it's a universal story of what happens when a person takes control of one's life.
Mm. Beautiful. That's so powerful. There's that saying, once you find yourself, you found everything. Okay, Chris, let's see. I'm looking at our time. And, you know, in New York, we call it a pause for the cause. And that means we got to pay the bills and let people know all about it. So let me take a brief pause. And when I come back, I want you to give your contact information. Okay. And then I want you to talk about this new book you've written, because I think it's going to really blaze some new trails. So, folks, we'll be right back with Chris Johnson, Master of Economy in the Black Community in the Diaspora. We'll be right back. Hey, Achievers. Dr. Herbert Harris here. Did you know that audiobooks are one of the most effective ways to learn about new ideas, new experiences, and new places to go? Audible, an Amazon company, is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial to get two free audiobooks to listen to whenever you want, in your car, in your home. Go to our website, www.herbertharris.com. Click on the Audible icon and get your free trial. That's www.herbertharris.com. Click on the Audible icon and get your free trial. You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. So we're talking now with Chris Johnson, author, entrepreneur extraordinaire. Chris, give us a little contact information so our listeners can contact you and learn more about what you're doing.
Okay. My phone number is area code 518-512-9972. You can email me at Liberty Hall Press, one word, at gmail.com. Now, I don't know if anybody still does snail mail, but
I don't know. Maybe somebody does.
Okay. If anybody wants to do snail mail, you can write to Liberty Hall Media Group. And it's 240 State Street, number 2452, Albany, New York, 12220.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Now, do you have a website for your information yet?
That's in the works. So that's the next. Yes. Beautiful.
Well, let's talk about your new book. The title, I call it GOAT, Gospel of Afronomics Theology, subtitle African-Centered Economic Principles for the 21st Century and Beyond. Wow. Now what caused you to write this book, Chris?
Now, it's a humorous story, okay?
Yes.
And I'm going to take you back to 2006. I'm sitting at home, and I'm watching, of all things, I'm watching this Deepak Chopra DVD that I just bought. And I heard this whisper, okay, and the whisper just said Afronomics. And I'm looking around, and nobody's home. And I said, okay. So from there, I'm thinking, all right, let me write this down. And from there, I kind of began to write principles. You know, if you remember the Black Panther Party's, the 10-point program about what we want, I used that model. And it started out as just basically seven principles. But over the years, it grew and grew until now today, there's 60 principles that I have. And I've also added a set of core beliefs to go with the principles. And so what I felt that African people needed now was a cultural economic philosophy, because a lot of times we have tools, but we don't have the cultural consciousness to maximize those tools. And so that's really the genesis of what you now see as the Gospel of Afronomics Theology. I tell my brothers in the Nation of Islam, I said, all I did was I took the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's blueprint and put it on steroids.
That's powerful. Well, I was looking at those core principles, and I tell you, they make so much sense. You know, when you really, I think everything needs a foundation. Mm-hmm. And when I was looking at your core beliefs, that is really where it's almost like if you don't have core beliefs, you know, life is a lot like a boat on the river of life.
Right.
And that boat has a sail, it has an engine, it has a rudder. And to me, the rudder is those core beliefs. And so what would you say the most important thing? Well, each one is important, but some of the key core beliefs that guide you in the book.
The things that I focus on in the book, or at least in the core beliefs, a lot of people, and this is what I found in doing consultation, a lot of people are focused on the how to, but they never focus on the why. They never focus on what is my driving force in order to do the things that I do in terms of obtaining financial freedom. And I think a lot of our people get into this paper chase, but don't have, I'll put it to you this way. In Proverbs 17:16, and I'm paraphrasing, it says, what good is it to get money but lack the desire to obtain the knowledge to manage and master it?
That's powerful. Say that again. What good is it? Say that again.
Okay. What good is it for a man to obtain money yet lack the desire to gain knowledge to master and manage your money?
That's pure money without consciousness. Woo! Mm-hmm. That's scary. So go right ahead.
You know, and we see this, you know, we see this all the time, you know, especially our athletes. I mean, whether you want to mention Joe Louis, you want to mention Sugar Ray Robinson, Mike Tyson, who basically made $500 million with nothing to show for it. And now we have Kevin Garnett suing his accountant because he felt that his accountant stole $77 million from him.
Woo, that's amazing. That's that could make you a bit angry.
Mm-hmm.
So consciousness is important. What's another core belief?
Another core belief is, and this is what I feel, that man was built to be entrepreneurial and self-employed. There's nowhere in the Torah, the Bible, or the Quran where any prophet you mention, from Adam all the way to Muhammad, even Gautama, none of them had a quote-unquote job.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Okay. And so you have to, I guess a life point here, a learning point, you really have to achieve a certain amount of financial independence to really become a true leader.
Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because as much as I love Malcolm, there was a fundamental mistake that he made. Okay. The fundamental mistake that Malcolm made was he placed his family's welfare at the mercy of another man's generosity. And to go even further, Malcolm said that he would never see the final cut of the book. And the reason why he was pushing to get the book published was so that Betty can receive the royalties to take care of the children.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's a powerful thought, man. And when you go back, there's a great book, Hermann Hesse, Siddhartha. Mm-hmm. And Siddhartha is about really that personal journey of a person, you know, through all of the learnings, you know, when he studied with Govinda Buddha, when he was a seeker of knowledge and wisdom. But there came a point in which he had the master, and I like to call it the riddle of survival.
Okay.
He became a rug merchant, and he achieved financial stability through that. And then he really was in a position to learn his final lessons for enlightenment and spiritual ascension. And so what you've done is kind of integrated that concept into your book, into this philosophy, then, that necessity for economic and financial independence.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I did that was because everybody here has a mission and an assignment. It's difficult to fulfill that assignment when you're constantly worried about your survival.
Yes.
Okay. And we get into this nasty habit of prostituting ourselves for money.
That's a powerful piece, because I like to call it the riddle of survival. That you do what you have to do to take care of your family, your friends, your neighborhood, the things that are important to you. Now, in your book, is there any, you might say, what would you say is the overall message? When a person reads the book, what is that overall takeaway that you'd like for them to have?
Well, what I wanted to do was, and I say it jokingly, but it's true, I wanted to write for Pookie, Ray Ray, and Junebug. because I don't think that they get the information. It's kind of like, how do I take Rich Dad? How do I take the E-Myth? How do I take all of these great books, but then translate them into a dialogue that our people can understand? Okay. Because a lot of times, and that goes back to culture, one of the things I talk about is what has to be at the root of a people's economic prosperity is a nucleus. And that nucleus consists of culture, history, and spirituality.
Now that's about culture, history, and spirituality. So your culture is really your values, what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your history, as I think Malcolm said, if you don't learn from the past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Right.
And then spirituality. Now you are working on your doctorate in metaphysics. How does that spirituality, circumscribe? How does that really apply to especially African-American people?
When you go back and you look at a lot of our movements, and we can even go back to the 1800s and the birth of Pan-Africanism, many of our leaders had a spiritual foundation, whether it was King in the Christian tradition, whether it was Malcolm in the Islamic tradition, others who were in the Hebrew Israelite tradition. So all of us had some form of spiritual grounding to serve as a compass in terms of how we deal with each other. In fact, I was just reading Che Guevara's Guerrilla Warfare, and he mentioned something about the moral superiority of the guerrilla. And what he was saying is that the people that you have chosen to serve and defend, how do you treat them? Because he understands that guerrilla warfare is based on the support of the people. If you treat the people badly, you'll lose in a week. But if you treat the people with kindness and compassion, they will support you in a critical moment.
Chris, I tell you something, this time goes by so fast, man. We're gonna do a part two of this. So all of our listeners, we're gonna definitely be doing a part two where we're gonna delve more into the book. Is there one remark, a closing thought for the world that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
You know, always remember that everything begins with a decision. Everything begins with a decision. And once you make that decision, now you have to begin to take steps to bring it from decision to reality.
Wow.
And so if you make that decision to become financially independent, then you have to begin to take steps toward that objective.
All right, Chris. Thank you so much, folks. We're going to be doing a part two, so you got to tune in for us. And this is Dr. Herbert Harris, the Millionaire Mentorship Show. And we have just had a great enlightening experience with Chris Johnson, author of, I like to call it GOAT, the Gospel of Afronomics Theology.
This is Dr. Herbert Harris. If you would like more information about how you may become a millionaire, text the word millionaire, that's MILLIONAIRE, to 58885. That's 58885 to get more information and a special gift.
All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to go to our website, herbertharris.com, for more information about our programs and things that can help change your life. Our closing affirmation for today is actually covered in Chris's book, and it is a statement by Gloria Steinem, and it says, power can be taken, but not given. The process of the taking is empowerment in itself. Let me say that again. Power can be taken, but not given. The process of the taking is empowerment in itself. Your assignment for this week is to really learn more about empowerment. And for those of you who have our book, The 12 Universal Laws of Success, your assignment is to read chapter 8, The Law of Value, and study the four principles of wealth building: the earning principle, the spending principle, the saving principle, and the investment principle. Remember that we are where we are because of the decisions we make and the actions we take. We have the ability to create the lives we desire by changing our thoughts, our feelings, our habits, and our associations. So choose the life you desire in your thoughts. Feel the life you desire in your feelings. Cultivate habits that support the life you desire, and surround yourself with people who believe in you, who love you, inspire you, and lift you up to your higher good, knowing that the best is yet to come. This is Dr. Herbert Harris with another edition of the Millionaire Mentorship Show. Join us again next week, same time, same station.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Vashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Vashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store. Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.